Mr. Right. That's right with a W. It's a play on words, and playing with words is my profession. I'm the prolific novelist Richard Bunn, and on the Mr. Right program, I sit down with another writer to talk writing and writers and writing and the craft of writing. Thanks so much for listening, and please enjoy. Mr. Right! Thank you once again for tuning into the Mr. Right program. That's right with a W. It's a play on words. I'm Richard Bunn, and I'll be playing with my guest, if you consider a conversation to be playing, which I do. And I'm sure he will make for a great playmate. Can I call you playmate? I'm going to call you a playmate. Anyway, he's sitting right across from me. He is an actor. He's a comedian. You know him from Playing House on USA. He's a producer and, most importantly, a writer from such shows as Cougar Town, as well as Bajillion Dollar Brokers. Please welcome, or I should just welcome because no one else is around here. I am welcoming and saying hello to my guest, Brad Morris.
Hey, Richard.
Brad, great to have you here.
It's great to be a playmate.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. Let's do small talk. Any fun plans for the weekend?
You know what? This weekend, I'm hoping to get outside a little bit.
Sure.
I just ordered a tennis racket online.
Ah.
So maybe I'll get over to play some tennis.
Yes, a bit of a sport man, huh?
You know, from time to time, I'm trying to get better about it, so
yes.
Not, so slovenly.
Sure. That's great. Good exercise, I'm sure.
Yes, it's cardio.
I need to get involved with that myself. I'm less into sports, more into leisure. And that involves a lot of sitting around.
Sure.
Or occasional kite flying.
Oh, wow.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, it's been good kite flying weather recently. I would think that this
yes.
would be a good time to get out there and let her rip.
Yeah, I've got to get most of my kites are still in storage at this point, but I got to get out there. Sometimes I just like to watch other people fly.
Sure. Where do you use storage?
It's in the sort of unincorporated area of Arcadia, which
oh.
is nearby where I live.
Oh, wow.
Kind of East Pasadena.
Sure.
East of East Pasadena.
A lot of good Chinese food out there, right?
I think so, yeah. It's sort of a no man's land. But
got it.
I know the area. I know the terrain pretty well.
Understood.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Now, I've mentioned some of the shows that you have worked on, written on. Now, Cougar Town. A wonderful program. Courtney Cox starring.
Yes.
Many other great actors.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we had a lot of good actors on that show.
Now, for those listeners who are unfamiliar, now, cougar, in this usage, is sort of a slang term which refers to a woman over 40 who is still, nonetheless, interested in sexual intercourse. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, older women that are sort of on the prowl.
On the prowl, sure. Oh, for younger men, isn't that?
For right? younger men, yeah, that's what it means. And I think for that show, it was intended to be that initially, and
mm-hmm.
then they had to shift course
right.
sort of early on when they realized that maybe that was sort of a flash in the pan sort of idea in the zeitgeist, you know?
I see.
Yeah.
I see. No, but it was or it was not based on an actual town full of these sexually voracious middle-aged women.
A lot of people don't realize that, yes, it is based on an actual town where this happened.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Well, I'd love to see a documentary about that as well.
Yeah, you know what? I think a more sort of verite approach to that story could be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just know it from being kind of a brightly lit, fun, kind of rompy comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think to get into it, into the minutiae, might be really interesting.
Yeah.
And dark.
Exactly. Because I'm a details man. I'm sure you are as well. Get into the minutiae. How is there a cutoff for a cougar? Could you age yourself out of cougar? Or what if you're 75 and you're chasing around, say, a man of my age, 54 years old?
Yes.
Is that a cougar?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, I thought so.
I feel like it's a state of mind as much as anything else. But yeah, I think once you're in your, I'd hate to just draw an arbitrary line in the sand like
right,
that.
Right.
But I feel like,
probably
you know,
no hard and fast rule.
I think there's no hard and fast rule. I think if you're older than the man
mm-hmm.
and you are aggressively pursuing
mm-hmm.
younger men, then you're a cougar.
Yeah.
Right? So 85 to you know, 54. You're 54. You look fantastic.
Okay. Now you're buttering me up, and I'll take it.
A little bit. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. And you look great as well. I've got some questions here for you, because I know you well. We've met before. We've
Absolutely.
Had coffee, decaf, as well as caffeinated.
Yeah, you're a decaf man.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah.
I only drink caffeinated when I'm scared. I don't know why.
It feels counterintuitive, but yeah. I mean, whatever feels right.
Yeah, well, that's the way I've been playing it anyway. But I don't know if all of our listeners know you as well as I do. So I've devised a little questionnaire here to get to know Brad Morris a little more. I've got six important questions, and I hope you're ready to answer these.
I'll try.
Okay. All right, number one right off the bat, who's one of your favorite writers?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm sure you get George Saunders a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
And
lots of short stories.
Lots of short stories. Yes. I do like a short story, just mm-hmm. because I feel like sometimes a novel is a commitment that I'm not always interested in making.
Well, and don't I know it?
Yes. Yeah, right, exactly.
I've written hundreds of them.
Right. I'm trying to think of other favorites. As a young, you know, schoolboy, I was a Steinbeck kid.
Oh,
like
yes.
Steinbeck.
John Steinbeck.
And then trying to think more contemporarily, even something more recent. I like biographies, so a lot of people mm-hmm. wouldn't know.
Sure.
The
Did you read the Dennis Rodman
these?
One?
The Dennis Rodman biography?
Yes.
I'm not sure that I have.
Okay.
You didn't write that.
No, I didn't write it. I assume he wrote it.
Well, biographies are not autobiographies, as you know. But, yes.
I was thinking autobiography. I just saw him on the TV recently, and that made me think of him.
In Korea, playing basketball?
I think so,
with
yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Isn't he? He's in with the terrible dictator of North Korea.
Yes, Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's thrown in with him.
Yeah, I think it didn't end well, though, is my understanding. Is that he brought a kind of a convoy of mm-hmm. of other ex-NBA players over there, and then he got sort of drunk, and I don't think it ended well.
That sounds like Rodman's M.O.
Yeah, you know, right.
The worm. All right, so wonderful. You gave me a couple different writers there. Important question number two. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Whew, I'm going to have to go with mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip?
Mint chocolate chip.
Aha. Very interesting. I like it. It's not my favorite, but I do enjoy it. It's a little bit like toothpaste to me.
Well, I get what you're saying, because oftentimes
it reminds me of toothpaste.
Sure, just because it's minty. But I think it's a different type of mint. What is your favorite?
Oh, these aren't quite...
Oh, all right.
You'll ask me later.
Fair enough.
Fantastic. All right. Question number three. Do you believe in goblins? Not ghosts. Do you believe in goblins?
I don't think so.
Goblins
are...
Like the little, just tiny green men that... not men, but creatures that we can't see, but they're responsible for many of our daily foul-ups and our blunders. If you knock over a soda can, do you think you did that, or was it a goblin?
Is that what a goblin is?
That's what I've always assumed them to be.
I'm going to say no.
Don't believe in goblins. All right. All right, next question. This is going to be a little bit of a gotcha question. Was that really your favorite flavor of ice cream you said before, the mint chocolate chip?
No, it was not.
It wasn't?
It was not. Yeah, I'm actually a cookies and cream guy. That's crazy that you asked that.
I'm glad I slotted that at number four right there. All right. We're getting to know you, Brad
That's
Morris.
Crazy, yeah.
All right. Question number five. Do you think it's weird for a grown man to believe in goblins?
No. I mean, you know, it is what it is mm-hmm. is what I would say to that.
Yeah.
You're talking about yourself now.
Question just refers to a grown man.
A grown man.
Yeah.
So. No, I mean, look, I don't pass judgment on anyone
okay.
you know, for belief in whatever they choose.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All right, last question here, question number six. Come on, you can tell me, what's really your favorite flavor of ice cream?
It's that's crazy that you asked the third time. Uh-huh. It is actually mint chocolate chip.
Oh, no,
I, that's weird.
Back to the
I
start
honestly,
again.
Yeah, I that's insane. People never ask it three times, so I never get the opportunity to give the real answer, then take them down a different road, and then bring it back to the real answer.
Wow.
Yeah. So the most people actually who care about me think it's cookies and cream, mm-hmm. and then those who really really know me know that it's mint chocolate chip.
So, uh-huh. Yeah. And you pulled the old switcheroo there two times.
It's a bait and switch, yeah.
All right, Brad. What I would love to know right now, I would love to ask you about what is your sort of writing process? What sort of rituals do you do? When you sit down to write, what do you do? Give me the details.
I like to actually like to write either in a really solitary, space, mm-hmm. or sometimes around other people because it gives me inspiration. So I love to write in a coffee shop. I'll grab a cup of coffee, and mm-hmm. I know, that
decaf
you're
for me.
A decaf
Thank you.
Guy, of mm-hmm. course. If I'm at home, I generally like to do that in the evening more than the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just kind of find a little time, a little quiet time, and maybe grab... again, some water, maybe it could be a soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
So coffee shop out in the morning for writing at
yep.
home, it's not coffee. It's, but it is something to drink. It could be water. It could be
something
a little bit
whistle.
Of whiskey even.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just to let the, sort of angels of the imagination
yes.
come out to play. And,
are you
music,
setting it? Are you, music as well.
A little bit of music is very helpful to me, but it can't be
post grunge.
Post grunge would be a little too aggressive,
a little aggro. Yeah,
yeah.
I suppose.
So something that sort of works as a bed underneath the
mm-hmm.
experience.
Nice instrumental stuff like that.
Instrumental is good. Mm-hmm. It could be classical, could be jazz, could mm-hmm. be sometimes if it is a noisier genre, even just to just. Pull the volume down so that
just turn it down a little.
A little bit of white noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you writing at the computer? Are you at a typewriter? Are you writing with a pen and paper? Are you dictating it to an underling?
I do look forward to the day where I can dictate to an underling, and mm-hmm. that's been a dream of mine.
Sure.
And I think for most writers, that's probably the case.
Yes.
But no, it's with a computer,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes writing some notes down. In a little notebook or on a piece of paper or a receipt.
Mm-hmm. Diary?
And not a diary, okay. per se. Not an actual diary.
Mm-hmm.
Do those still exist?
I think so.
Okay.
I assume...
it feels like the type of thing that was around a lot. It sort of
yeah.
just from the turn of the century. And
right.
Sort of...
Maybe with the internet, people aren't doing them as frequently. I would think young girls like to keep a diary. I assume.
It's
I don't
kind
know.
Of like a. It's sort of like a toy for girls.
Yeah. Yes. But you don't. You're saying you don't keep one.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. But I think they're probably useful. A journal is mm-hmm. the more masculine, and not to get.
Yes.
But I think that we're
can
generalizing.
We call it a journal if you have a little key and a lock on it?
That's a really good question, and I don't know that anyone's.
I would love
it.
To call mine a journal, but I think it's technically
if it's
a
like
diary.
a rich kind of brown leather bound journal, but then there's a little kind of tinsy
mine's more
little...
pink and purple ish.
That sounds like a diary to me. Could
yeah.
be a journal. Just depends. And we're living in this time where what is pink? What is purple? What are pastels?
Right.
Anyone
can use these colors.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Where do your ideas spring from? Are you inspired by reading the newspaper or
sometimes
the latest dance craze? Where do your ideas come from?
I don't know about the latest dance craze. Is that something that inspires you to write?
Sometimes, but
yeah. What is the latest dance craze, by the way?
I haven't kept up on
yeah.
it. I should.
Oh,
the
nay nay.
Oh yes, the whip and the nay-nay.
The whip and the nay-nay.
That's
yeah.
right.
The whip and the nay-nay. And I think that one, we can all agree, is the most recent. Really, I'm sure there's some more niche kind of fringy dance crazes
mm-hmm.
that are happening. But I think,
taking the country by storm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, a lot of, I would say white moms and dads even know what that is. And
yes.
that's always, to me, when you know that something's reached critical mass.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
That's when it's a craze.
That's right.
When... when the unhip white moms and dads are doing it.
Correct.
It is officially gone nationwide.
That's my theory, at least.
You know, that gives me an idea maybe for a novel that I'll write over the weekend. The Whip and the Nene, something like that. Something involved with that. Maybe there's a contest. A contest for the top whipper and nene-er in the country. I don't know if that's two separate contests or if you need to compete in both disciplines. I don't know, just sort of brainstorming.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on this?
I hadn't really considered, a whole novel about it feels...
Yeah, 370 pages, somewhere in there.
350, wow, okay. You're going to knock that out over the weekend. That makes me feel terrible.
What's
the most pages that you've written that are coherent sentences over the course of a 48-hour stretch?
Oh, goodness. I've written entire novellas in a half day. Well, you'll get a taste of the bun process a little bit later. We'll see if any of it inspires you.
Maybe a whip and nene sort of pageant, you know. Mm-hmm. It would take place
less of a contest, more of a pageant.
More of a pageant, because to me, it's not about who's doing it best.
Right.
It's more that everyone has their own way of doing it.
Yes.
And in that, we would find a central character, someone who's not able to really access their most personal whip or nene.
They're inhibited in some way.
Yes.
And this pageant brings out the best in them.
Well, or maybe someone else who's part of the pageant sees that someone is inhibited in their whip or in their nene, mm-hmm. and brings out the best in them. So the pageant acts as this backdrop for this budding connection or maybe love to occur between someone who's more free with their whip and nene,
yes.
and someone who's more bottled up with it.
Maybe there's I like all of that. Maybe it's sort of and one of the people is a Muslim and the other one is a Christian, and we get sort of that that religious war that seems to be brewing up in the news these days, or at least it's on people's minds.
I guess I hadn't thought of it being such a heavy.
Yeah, that might be.
Story.
Biting off a little much?
Possibly. Sometimes, you know, you can jam too much into a story, and then I feel like some of the integrity, the structural integrity and the heart of it can get sort of lost.
You make a great point there.
But I mean, hey, I don't know.
Well, this thing is writing itself. I'm going to have some free time this weekend.
Yeah. Might want to switch to caffeinated for the weekend.
Okay. I see. I get your point there.
Yeah.
All right, we've come to one of my favorite parts of the show, and this is called the write-in, where one of our listeners has written in a very tiny story, and they've submitted it, and I'm going to read it aloud, and you'll listen to it, and we'll discuss it a little bit, and sort of give our thoughts and what we think about it. Now, this one comes from a writer named Ben Johnson. I'm not sure of his age, we don't know, but it's titled My Basketball Dream, okay? And here it goes. I can feel my legs running a lot, and the dribbling basketball, I dribbling, bouncing up and down. I am running on the basketball court in a basketball game, and I am playing it, the basketball, very well. I look to the side of me and I see LeBron James, the basketball player. And I look to the other side of me and I see Kobe Bryant. Am I going to dunk it? I feel myself jumping up to where the basketball hoop. And I think that, yes, I am going to dunk the basketball into it. But then I woke up. It was only just a basketball dream I had. The end. The basketball dream. Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that grabbed me right away was the moment when he said, am I going to dunk it?
Right.
Question mark. What did you think right then?
There was a bit of suspense. Dunk? There was some suspense. I guess I would think no.
You didn't think he would dunk?
No dunking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think he would get all the way there because, again, it was hard for me to imagine the narrator being anyone other than this child.
Right, right. Wait, and he's playing with Kobe and LeBron.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it's healthy Kobe from, you know, 7-8 years ago in
sure.
his prime, and LeBron without yes. all the kind of hassles of running his own team.
Right. So you didn't think? I guess I was more hopeful. I was hoping he might dunk it.
Right.
But then what do you know? At the end, it all turned out to be a dream, didn't it? It wasn't happening at all.
Yeah. And then it's sort of okay. Well, then I think we all understood.
Not unlike the Wizard of Oz. I would put this right up there with the Wizard of Oz in terms of what you thought was happening was not happening. It was merely a dream all along.
Yeah.
What a turn that was.
A big one.
I wasn't expecting it.
It would have been interesting if suddenly the writer had sort of a new voice as the narrator mm-hmm. on the other side of that dream, because it not only would have just sort of shifted mm-hmm. the tone and perspective, but maybe answered the question, how old is this person?
That's right, yeah. The other thing that I thought was especially interesting, he actually has the words, the end, in the story.
No one does that anymore.
No one does that. Those were not the final words of the story.
Right.
I'll read that final passage once again. It was only just a basketball dream I had. The end. The basketball dream. He even reiterates what he's just told us again after the words the end. Very original.
Yeah,
way,
it's different.
In its own way. Yes, well done, Ben Johnson. Take care of yourself. The end. Please take care of yourself.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Great. Oh, well, that was one. All right, Brad. Now, as you know, I love words, and I love language, and that's why I'm a writer, and I love writing, and I love the craft of writing, and I love words and language, and I also love games, and I was thinking about where did that inspiration first come from, and it reminded me, when I was young, I had one of those speak and spells.
Sure.
Are you familiar with those? A toy.
Speak and spell.
Yes, and it sort of, you could press different buttons, and there were different games on it, different word games, and I just had a flash of memory of that, and I wish I still had one of those around. They were so much fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, don't have one. But I thought we could sort of play a speak and spell game, and since we don't have a speak and spell, I'll have to do my best to stand in for it.
Oh.
Does this sound like a fair enough plan?
I sure.
Great. So here's the idea. We'll play sort of a mystery word game. I'll have you, you can just sort of press me as if I were covered in buttons. So you'll press me, and that'll prompt me to say a letter, and then you can write down the letter, and it'll be a jumbled up series of letters, and you have to figure out what the mystery word is before you get to two letters prior to the entire number of letters. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
So let's say there was a seven-letter word.
Sure.
You had to guess it before...
Within
you
five.
That's right, you've got it.
Yeah, okay.
Wonderful. Okay.
Great.
Where, just so I know, and I'm not surprised, where do you intend to press me? Just anywhere, you could choose hand or my knee.
Knee.
My sternum would work fine.
Sternum? That's fine.
Let's go with sternum.
Sternum.
Great, fantastic. All right, so you'll press me, and then out will come a letter from the speak and spell.
All right. Great.
Go ahead.
Yep.
T. And writes it down. Great.
Okay.
Here's it again. W. R.
I was going to say water.
Wrong. Try again.
Okay. Twirl?
Wrong. Try again.
All right.
E.
Twirled?
That is incorrect. I've forgotten how many letters there were.
I mean, I've written down 5.
How many have you written? 5?
Yeah.
That's Could you really... run it back by me?
Yeah. T-W-R-I-E. Do you have one in mind?
Yes, I've got one in mind.
Because the whole thing is hinges upon that, I think.
So I've certainly... which one's
I mean, the voice sounds amazing. Like, it sounds so much like the toy, but I do think you need to have a
yes,
word in
I've
mind.
Got, I've got one. It's You've got T-W-R-I-E.
Like twirled would work.
Yes, yes. Oh, they're not necessarily in order.
I understand, but I mean... Well,
so you may need to unscramble and unjumble.
Okay. Writer?
Yes, it was right. Wonderful.
Wow, that's amazing. That was great.
You got it after...
I should have known.
Well, I...
That's very good. And again, the voice is amazing. Like, you sound like... Incredibly. It's uncanny.
Thank you. Press me again. W. W. W, W, W,
W,
W. Okay, there we go. It was stuck on W.
That's a fun party thing, I bet.
I should go to more parties. One little fun fact that many of our listeners might not know is that you actually got your start in writing. You started out writing erotic fiction under a pseudonym, isn't that right, in your younger days?
That is correct. Yeah, Richard, that is correct. Not a lot of people know that, but I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, it was a great way to kind of cut my teeth, so to speak.
That's great. And you wrote under the name F. Scott Titzgerald, is that right?
That is correct.
Very, very creative pseudonym. I like it very much. And we talked beforehand. I asked you to bring in one of your old stories, and have you done that?
I have.
Great. And you'll read a short passage?
Yeah,
for us,
this is
would
just
you?
a short passage. You know, it's, well, I, you know, again, keep in mind, this is from when I was just starting out.
Sure. But so one of your earliest works. Great. And what's the title?
She Came from Shreveport.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which has sort of got a double meaning, but.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I just picked a passage here that I enjoy. Naomi reached down to the ground and picked up the steak fry and slowly raised it up to her swollen, sweaty lips. Mm-hmm. She was hot, and the allergic reaction to the trace amount of peanut dust found on the loose cert that she had eaten found in her purse was wreaking havoc. Mm-hmm. Her underwear was no picnic either.
Oh my.
She used the still-hot fry as a delicious wedge to pry open her balloon teeth covers, exposing her soft pink tongue, which was wet with anticipation for Ben's approach. Mm. It is Ben, right? She thought as she tried to make out the fat burger manager's name on his name tag through her vodka and root beer haze. Beb. Not Ben. His name is Beb. Is that even a name? She thought. She thought of all the times she'd slept with these burger chain managers in the South and hadn't even asked their names. Mm. Today would be different. Nope. She came right there with her trademark primal yelp tinged with a hint of Vin Scully nasality. Ben walked up. Are you okay, ma'am? She would be soon. It's just a... Yeah, and it goes on from there, and it's quite an adventure.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, and you don't even get too X-rated or graphic in there.
No.
It's a lot to the imagination.
It's really, to me, it was always about, you know, putting real people in real situations, mm-hmm. and seeing, you know, where they would come.
Yes, yes.
Ultimately. And I find that to be... erotic because you're imagining, wow, I've been in a fat burger, I've been in a Denny's.
Sure, who hasn't?
Know? Yeah. And so and why not ejaculate there? Why not release? You
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
Very evocative, so much descriptive sort of. I really felt like I was in that sort of the swamp air of Shreveport.
Yeah.
I felt it in that fat burger.
Thank you. And a lot of people, you know, people go, wait a second, fat burger, that's a West Coast burger chain. But mm-hmm. what they don't realize is that in fiction, you can transpose
yes.
even your favorite burger chain.
You could put restaurants where they don't exist. You could put them wherever you want them to be.
I could have put it in Rhode Island.
Absolutely.
I could have put it on Mars, frankly.
You could have put a Waffle House in Vancouver.
Absolutely. You got it. You could take a Rally Burger and shove it up your ass.
You sure could. Creative license. And I like that you... took that creative license to drive, if you will, and drove with that driver's license, the creative driver's license.
I drove and did all the way.
All right, Brad. Well, I loved hearing about what your sort of writing process was like. A little bit of light music, some sort of a beverage, and sort of setting the mood and getting inspiration. Now I'd like for you to try out my process, the bun process, also known as the bun technique for writers in writing. And this is the one that I teach in all of my workshops. It's the one I've used to write the vast majority of my hundreds of novels. And I'd love to just guide you through a little bit of it right now. How does that sound to you?
That sounds great.
Wonderful. Okay, so here's how we start off. First things first, we want to turn off all of our gadgets and our gizmos, cell phones, all of our buzzers and our beepers, Palm Pilot, all of our electronic gizmo watchets that are sort of distractions that we have. So we shut them all off. So we can just relax, okay? We take a deep breath. Wonderful. Then we close our eyes. Don't fall asleep, please.
Okay.
Okay. Then take one more tiny deep breath. Good. And now, just using your mind's eye, all right, go into your fantasy imaginationscape and just describe what you see with your mind's eye. What do you see in there?
I see a, maybe like a 12-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
And he's just walking on the street from his house.
Yes.
I guess he's going to get a pack of baseball cards.
Uh-huh. He's walking down to get a pack of baseball cards. Fantastic. Great. Keep going. Oh, what else? What do we see?
Yeah, there? He's noticing that there are no cars today. There are some that are parked, but there don't seem to be any driving. And he's wondering, what's the special event today? Why is there a street closure?
Very interesting. Is there a calendar lying on the ground? Do you see a calendar on the ground to learn what year it is?
There could be.
Oh, so you do see one?
Sure.
Okay, and what year does it say?
1997.
So that's what year it is. It's 1997. Oh. Wonderful. What else? What else do you see?
It seems to be fall. There's some trees, but there's some color in the leaves. Mm-hmm. You know, some on the ground.
Yes.
And then an old dumpster, but it's like a dumpster from the 50s.
Uh-huh.
A different shape, different capacity.
Mm-hmm. An old dumpster. And what if all these, there's no one else on the street, there's no cars. Is he worried? Is he wondering?
There are some people, but it just seems like it's almost like there's been a parade there, and now it's time to clean up, so it's like, it's blocked off, you know, like you'd find for some kind of event.
Mm-hmm. It's all blocked off. Now, is he continuing on to go to buy the baseball cards?
He's on his way to get the cards and to his drugstore. You know, and he's on his way there.
On his way to the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Sees a little dog on the right side of the street, a mutt.
And is he arriving at the drugstore right now?
Yeah.
So he is then? So I suppose he's at the drugstore. Wonderful. All right.
Well, he can be.
Okay, he's at the drugstore. Is he hungry at all, or does he need a bite to eat? Anything? A radish, maybe?
Sure. Do they have radishes at the drugstore?
Well, you tell me what's in your mind.
I don't know that I would include a radish at the drugstore in my mind, but
not even at this specific one. Maybe they.
Sure. No, that's fine. There can be a radish,
right?
Yeah, like a package, like a a la carte, like one of those like hard boiled eggs that you sometimes
maybe
find.
Maybe the pharmacist pickles his own radishes and has a large jar of them sitting out on the counter.
Okay.
Or whatever you see. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even. I guess it's more of a traditional drugstore in my mind, but okay. I don't know why there's not. There's certainly always room for pitches.
Right. Well, it does sound like he was hungry for that radish, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he would eat the radish, I suppose. But he was really there for the baseball cards.
Oh, yes, of course, the baseball cards.
Yeah, so.
And what of those? Has he located them?
He's found them. Yeah, they're just down and to the right from the radishes. And he's just getting two packs because he's only got $2 on him.
Well, wow. What a story.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Bravo.
That's that was only the first time
using the process. Well, I mean, that's just the beginning.
That's the beginning. Thanks for saying that. Yeah. I feel like it kind of stalled out there. And then the radishes were a curveball, too.
Right, yes.
Stick with the baseball thing. But yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah, I can see how it could be a challenge your first time through. But I thought you did marvelously.
So you kind of ride shotgun there and just kind of.
How's that?
Well, I mean, in your workshops, you have people kind of take you through.
Well, I just sort of provide the canvas, and I love to just hear what people have to say. And I thought you came up with some marvelous details there. I was very. My interest was piqued once we finally saw that calendar and we knew what year it was. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, that exposition's sort of helpful, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But
it was sort of hard to kind of move forth in my thoughts because, if I'm being honest, because you were sort of jumping right on board there.
I understand. I understand that
for me it was difficult, but yes. I'm sure for some people it's very.
Well, it's just a beginner mistake, and helpful. I don't think you need to beat yourself up about it.
All right.
I know. And don't I know it? Well, this has been just wonderful talking with you, Brad. And I'm so sad to say we're almost out of time. This has been just a pure joy. Now, tell us again what you're working on right now. Bajillion Dollar Broker.
Bajillion Dollar Properties.
Oh, Bajillion Dollar Properties.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be on a new streaming service called CISO.
Right, CISO.
Yeah, and so I encourage people to check that out. It's a lot of fun, and you would recognize a lot of funny people that are guest players there, and then some really fantastic improvisers. And it's from the minds of Tom Lennon and Ben Garant, but specifically from Kulap Vilaysack and Scott Kulap. Ackerman.
And Scott.
And just very, very funny people. And it's kind of lampooning a real estate office in Los Angeles, which is ripe for it.
Yes. Well, I cannot wait to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Down the road, though, let's talk other projects that Brad Morris may have knocking around the hopper.
I'm doing an oral history with a documentary component just about hot dog vendors. At professional stadiums, because I think it's going away. I think they're going the way of the dodo, and I want to capture that.
That's sort of an American classic, the old hot dog salesman at the ballpark.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to capture that.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to me.
I like that a lot.
Thanks. Yeah, and then I'm doing
hot dogs here. Get your hot dogs here, is what they say.
Well, that's what some of them say.
Thank you so much. This has been such a great treat. Sitting down and talking the craft of writing with you, Brad. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Dick. This has been fantastic.
It's Richard, but that's fine. I have been called Dick Bunn before.
Sorry,
but that's fine. Trying to keep it to Richard, but that's fine. Wonderful having you as my playmate. And thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be had. I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Bye.
Episodes of Mr. Right were recorded at Earwolf Studios and engineered by Ryan Connor and Sam Kiefer, and recorded at Werewolf Heart Studios and engineered by Alex Burke. Mr. Right is produced by Mark McConville and created by Paul Britton. The theme song, Hot Decaf and a Fancy Scone, was written and performed by Alex Burke, Brandon Dickert, and Gordon Bash, and engineered and produced by Neil Baldock. Mr. Right is a Howl original and a production of Midroll Media.